We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Thanks for joining for another Blunt Business here on CannabisRio.com. Appreciate all of you joining us. Blunt Business is powered by the Buzz CRM. Ready to stop the marketing madness? Dive deep into the Buzz CRM's revolutionary capabilities with our exclusive under-the-hood webinars coming very soon. We're going to be allowing new users to go and pull back the curtain to show you exactly how our 500-plus marketing tools, AI-powered automation, and personalized workflows can transform your business. So look at it. AI will be able to handle your emails and social media 24/7, nurturing leads with customized automation and ensuring you never miss a call with our unique missed call text back feature. And you get a chance to find out. We have a new 2025 redesign. It's more intuitive, faster, smarter than ever. And you'll see how it all works for you at one shot. Doesn't matter what kind of business you are. You're tired of the constant gathering of logins and passwords you don't want to go and deal with. You don't want to go and pass along to others. Get it all in one place. 500 modules in one place. And you'll be surprised how easy it adapts to whatever you're looking for. TheBuzzCRM.com. TheBuzzCRM.com. Go and find out more today and tell them that you learned about it on Blunt Business. And with that said, on the program, I'm here with a guest who, from a firm we've had, you know, quite a few times here on the program, but he leverages a comprehensive legal skill set to deliver tailored solutions across the financial services and cannabis industries. He is with the Financial Services Regulatory and Compliance Group. This is Clark Hill, by the way, just so you know. He counsels SynTech and traditional financial institutions on product development, state licensing, and navigating regulatory examinations, including those with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. He also serves cannabis sector clients with an equally robust approach, assisting with regulatory compliance, entity formation, contract negotiation, and broader corporate legal needs, and spans from advising family-owned startups to supporting large-scale mergers and acquisitions. I'm here with attorney from Clark Hill PLC, Kari Griffin. Thanks for being on with me.
Oh, I appreciate it, Brasco. Thanks for having me.
So for those listening in, we've had quite a few guests there joining us for the program from Clark Hill, including Craig Small. We've had Bob Hohen, of course, and many others among the run through here. So glad to have you on, Kari. And specifically, let's go into some of the areas that you can definitely talk about where you're focusing more on the areas of the hemp laws in Texas and Georgia. Let's start off with those first. So Texas recently became the first state to prevent statewide THC delivery through Hometown Hero, even as legislation to ban hemp-derived THC products advances. So, and we had Hometown Hero featured on our grassroots marketing program, but it's been very tough and very tangled to get anyone to go ahead and do any kind of products in Texas. Obviously, Texas is going to be one of the last outliers of cannabis legalization if it ever does come to 50 states. Tell me this legal paradox about how this particular company was able to go ahead and allow THC products statewide while simultaneously considering a ban on the very same products. Talk about what this means to businesses and regulators, what they should, how they should interpret this. Should they approach themselves? Take me through that.
Yeah. So, right now it's currently, you know, two bills, kind of entering, like you said, simultaneously, almost, head to head in Texas. You know, Texas, along with some of these other states, you know, obviously you have a faction, right, who who looks at marijuana, looks at hemp as all the same. And, you know, beyond the farm bill, beyond the advances just within the country, we're still holding on to some of those pastimes, of viewpoints and, you know, really just those old views on the plant. So, and then you also have in these, districts as well, you have another side who's, you know, supporting the future. A lot of, you know, young business owners, obviously these markets are emerging. So, you know, these are new businesses, new business owners. A lot of them, perhaps come from diverse backgrounds, whether that be, ethnic, racially, veterans. A lot of these programs with, you know, the hemp and marijuana, but, while it's opportunity there, you have these clash head to head. So, and that's reflected. That's reflected in the legislature. Like when you look at Texas,
Well, let me go ahead and give a little bit of context just so the people know for these bills in particular. This is the latest news I have now on this as we record this today in early April, that there was still public commentary going on among the members of the Texas House Committee on State Affairs. They had public testimony on the future of THC. If hemp-made products will be completely banned or regulated, there's House Bill 28, which would ban all THC consumables like vapes and edibles, but would regulate THC-infused drinkables. So, Kari, given these two bills that are being put in front and for the public to come in, I'm still trying to figure out the fact that this House bill would allow drinkables, but other consumables are not being included in this, and the Senate bill is a complete ban. Why are they not lockstep here? What is it about drinkables that would be allowed? Is it only this company, Hometown Hero, that's allowed to go ahead and produce, and others could do the same thing under whatever distinctions? What can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so what it really, it's really a carve out. This is House Bill 28. The representatives, what they're trying to achieve there. They're marrying it off of, you know, still based off federal, hemp law with the farm bill. So nothing's really changing in terms of, you know, the THC limits and that such. But they want to add, a layer here, to address, the drinks in itself. And they want to kind of put that in regulation as you have with alcohol in Texas. So, and that's why I mentioned it really depends on the infrastructure within a state. Some of them, they may see it to be convenient, to regulate it, especially like with drinks, because it's something, you know, they feel like they perhaps can put it under the same, jurisdiction, the same, ruling of whatever they, you know, they do with the alcohol, regulation. So it really depends on what they got in place. But, you know, as you say, with Senate Bill 3, just completely just trying to wipe away with everything, you know, that's coming from another view, and that, almost like Georgia, which I know we're going to talk about a little bit later, you know, they want to, you know, get rid of the drinks. They think drinks is that's too much, right? Cause some of them is like, okay, we have a cannabis drink. What's really the difference between that and, you know, just getting me a Bud Light on a Saturday at the bar, right? You know, you even see around the country, the NHL started, you know, having cannabis drinks sold in some of their events.
Well, let me put it like this too, Akari, is that one of the things that was being mentioned, from this is from a story from KXAN, the NBC affiliate in Austin, Texas. They made a point here as well that a chief of the Allen, Texas Police Department, Steve Dye, testifying against the House bill. He testified that in his town, there's 24 shops that sell THC products, and there were investigations by his department making the charge that the potency of current products were far higher than in years past. Average concentration, he says, was 29% THC, and that they were regularly finding high school age children with THC consumables. And they were saying that, you know, there was something about that there was no consistency on the potency of the products. That's something that's kind of concerning. And it's like, this also goes back to arguing against the hemp bill, which again has been pushed from 2025 to 2026, one more year, the same regulations, but there's no implementation whatsoever. So states like Texas have to go on and try to create their own setup here. You know, in this case, is there an arguable case to come back and say, hey, listen, the FDA is still not giving us any implementation, so we shouldn't be, you know, accountable for the fact of the potency of the products. We're trying to give it at a certain level. We have no standards or barriers to fall on.
And you said that's what House Bill definitely warranted, especially just with the access that's out there, you know, especially in a state like Texas. But it's definitely a probing concern. But that's what, as I said, that's why we have these two factions going neck and neck. One's like, you know, this isn't enough.
I just feel like where Texas is coming in, and there's a whole lot that's being confused about this, because why does the legislature want to go ahead and have these two bills with that one distinction being kept out? Is there any particular reason why THC drinks under the House bill would be allowed while the Senate bill wants to go for a complete ban? Is there anything in particular about the consumables that they felt like that is acceptable?
Well, I mean, I really believe so. It's really just the, and as I go, it goes really to the view, right? As you see it here, because really the distinction, right? You're not going to get both of them. Most likely it's going to come, both sides are going to have to negotiate, the House and the Senate. You're going to have to negotiate, you know, which is going to work the best, right? Cause, you know, obviously in addition to the drinks, right? You got one side worried about everything else as well. You know, the gummies, the, you know, just the NFL. So you just wanted to just, you know, ban everything from the onset. So that's one view. But, yeah, I mean, with Texas, really, it just goes down to what they decide, what the legislators decide.
It just doesn't make any sense if they have all the other puts in place, and they're also putting particular standards when it comes to age restriction, the banning of synthetics, the testing, you know, third-party labs, and child-resistant tampering, you know, having all those things put into place, and limiting milligrams. I don't understand where this part is. If they're doing all this here, then right, why not just go ahead and let it just go along with the Senate bill instead of having a complete ban? But this is also hemp-made products, where we already know that in Texas, they've already been going after Delta 8, Delta 9, the particular beverages. I know that for Hometown Hero, when we spoke with them, you know, they were, I don't know if it's still that way now, but they've been developing Delta 9, Delta 8, HHC, CBDA, and CBGA, and been around for 10 years, and helping with, you know, donating portions of their proceeds to various charities and organizations to support veterans, and also have their own hemp business council that they were trying to speak with board candidates and speak with the lawmakers about this. But we're still this kind of, this is a quagmire. And right. I mean, when you've heard from the lawmakers here, are they very well aware of what they're talking about here? Are they very well aware of, you know, dealing with THC here? And if they understand what they're doing by creating this kind of precedent here with this change?
No, they don't. I'll say that for sure, you know. And that's what a lot of some of the states, especially the, you know, more the later states now that we're seeing starting to really touch and address cannabis in their legislation. A lot of it don't have the years in the studies, you know, really to, you know, back and support a lot of the theories. Like, speak with THC, right? You really can't just speak on THC, you know, blanket terms, because, you know, you have the Delta 9 THC, and that's really what, that's really where everyone, you know, points their finger to when they find out, you know, that's what's responsible for the high effect. That's the reason why the Farm Bill, you know, put that limit on there. But, you know, a lot of these other states, you know, they hear about these synthetics, like you said, the synthetic 8, right? The HMT, and these are some of the things that were unregulated, and like you said, cause concern, because you can find those in perhaps like a Texas convenience store or a Texas just out openly and sold, because it was still in, right? It was still in compliance with the Farm Bill, because, right, it's industrial hemp less, but the synthetic side, it's like, all right, it's really no limit. You can do whatever you want.
But now,
betting sound.
One of the parts I want to go and figure out too is that at the same time we're seeing this here about these bills being put forward for public comment, one of the things I think that might be a very telling sign as to why this is going on and why THC might still be allowed in some way, shape, or form is the fact that the parent company of Edible Arrangements is now launching a new kind of delivery service. There's now, they have edibles.com. There's delivering THC products across Texas. And whether it's, while it's still legal to sell hemp-derived THC in Texas, there could be changes because of the ban. So obviously Edible Arrangements and the team thereof, Edible Brands, is trying to lobby back at this. Do you know about what their influence has been on all this right here with the House and Senate, and they've been part of public comment? How much of a difference would that make for the for this bill if such a large company could lobby in, pay off these lawmakers and say, hey, we're going to allow it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I definitely think that helps, right? I definitely think that helps. Because, you know, at the end of the day, money does talk, but still, you know, in a state like Texas, where, you know, morals could, you know, considered to be still, at a high, if you ask the right people, it's really going to take, you know, also the public, really. And as you said, just people from the community and, you know, even the smaller brands, who, you know, are maybe, impacted, maybe like veterans and such of that sort, just to show that, okay, you know, allowing hemp, allowing, THC, but perhaps in a regulated fashion allows me to, succeed as a small business owner, a veteran, right? Maybe, you know, someone from a diverse background, and now I can, you know, find his niche. So it's going to take the community, leaders as well, and the members of the community in general, really just to shift the view, right? Because, you know, these are communities as well. And, you know, as much as, right, they may have some deep pockets who are interested, you know, that won't be enough, with places like this.
So now we know that from a lot of reports, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is in support of the hemp ban, a complete hemp ban. So in support of the Senate bill and across the board for businesses that are operating right now in Texas, and for those that were looking to probably even start opening up shop, you know, this evolving patchwork of delivery allowances and bans, you know, also for the understanding for district attorneys and law enforcement locally, you know, what do you do? What would you do to consult in any of these organizations right now? In the cannabis businesses right now in Texas, what would be, you know, an overstating point that should be made? What should they be prepared for?
Yeah. So, I mean, really, as with the hemp industry and the cannabis industry, it knows you have to be prepared for anything, right? Because anything can change. You really can't predict the future with such a regulated industry, right? Like hemp and cannabis. So what I would say is to definitely be on more proactive side than reactive. Understand the consequences of what you're potentially doing right now, what that would look like if, you know, one of these bills ends up being, you know, passing the law. What would that look like with your products, your inventory, your operations, and kind of planning that and have that in your mind moving forward. I always think the safest bet is you to follow the farm bill, and really just, you know, go from there. But also be prepared, you know, if it is a ban in Texas, and understanding, okay, this may be a market, you know, that I can't be in right now. And it really just depends on your risk appetite. And, you know, that really goes with, you know, everyone who is a player in this cannabis industry. It depends on, you know, what you have at risk, because, you know, at the end of the day, you might just, you know, this federal, law in hands, and you'll say, oh, perhaps I'm allowed. You have to understand that you're dealing with, the state, right? You're still with them on a day-to-day basis.
But even with them, I would think if Texas would just have some federal oversight, some kind of federal guidance that says, here, for hemp-derived THC or CBD products in general, under the hemp bill, if they were going to allow the fact that, okay, it's going to be grown, everything is going to be good, as long as we have a particular universal standard. And as I said, the National Cosmetics Act of 1930, that is the industry standard across other industries. In the same vein, when it comes to farming, it models it to get to that point. Because the one thing I think that would also be considered, not just for the business owners, but I imagine there will be a lot of people in Texas that want to be able to grow hemp on their farms, because there'll be a lot of money to be made on it, aside from other things. Why not? And that's another part that comes in too. And I imagine Texas has already had a history of hemp farming back before. This all became something apart because of the potency. Well, instead of letting Texas kind of go through this quagmire, if the FDA could offer real guidance and just say, listen, universal standard, boom, Cosmetics Act 1930. And if the cannabis industry itself overall had, boom, good manufacturing practices, compliance could be set in a certain way. It's not that hard, but we're going to continue with this. And Texas is one of the biggest examples of like where the FDA, you have a new administration there, get something done, quick kicking the can down the road. But anyway, let's go to commercial break. When we come back, we said we were going to talk about Georgia. We're going to come back to that because they're considering a substantial overhaul of both their medical marijuana and hemp laws. We're going to talk all about that and more of the things that comes on with the issues behind the 2018 Farm Bill and you know, where we're stuck with some 8 years, some 7 years later. I'm here with attorney from Clark Hill PLC, Kari Griffin, here on Blunt Business. Back with more carriers after this.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free, select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Rebate in form of Visa gift card equal to 100% off the second eligible item purchased before or after applicable discounts, if any. See details. Offer ends 7/9.
Welcome back to Blunt Business. I'm here with Kari Griffin, attorney from Clark Hill PLC here. And we've been talking about Texas and the particular issues with their House and Senate bills being considered right now, which would most likely be a full ban or a slight ban on all THC products except for drinkables. That might be the only thing that might be left in the crossfire of all this. But there's a lot of people looking to go and say there might be a full ban. Meanwhile, Georgia is actually looking at a substantial overhaul of both its medical marijuana and hemp laws, focusing on enhanced regulation of consumables and a new license structure. And I want to dig into that story real quick, as long as it doesn't give me a paywall. So in the story they say here, it was originally Senate Bill 220, the Putting Georgia's Pages First Act, which initially came in to start off with cannabis, and then the House bill followed with that. And with the hemp bills, they've had a number of hemp bills come across, but I'm wondering to find out now, in your own guidance here, Kari, as someone who counsels clients on licensing and compliance, tell me about the challenges and opportunities that you foresee for businesses preparing for this legislative shift. And what can you tell me about what they're looking to do to overhaul these programs?
Yeah. So, you know, kind of like Texas, you know, Georgia is kind of, they're in a similar boat, right? You're kind of kicking the can, proverbial can down the road on hemp legislation. So here, and I don't know what you can credit it to, perhaps the, shift in administration is a good time to kind of just as a state, just fill out, what's going to be, what's going to be like, what's going to be with the federal support. So, Georgia, they decided to, and it's really a Senate here. They decided to have two bills up for consideration. Really three bills actually. But while one of them was trying to expand, cannabis and hemp for those who, some could say that those who really need it, right? For medical, purposes. You also had, two other bills which sought to restrict it. And one, as you go back to Texas, what is it with these drinks? Complete outlaw on all, hemp. The THC infused beverages, all of them. So, and that really had potential for, disaster for the industry. But actually, before I jumped on today, I took a look at, some of these bills as well, because, they're supposed to, be decided on, at least for consideration right now. So, I mean, these ones, they had to move forward, but we could see them in the future. And it definitely kind of shows how the state is thinking.
So what we've been talking about right now is that there's Senate Bill 254 amending the Georgia Hemp Farming Act to allow licensed retail to obtain a retail consumable hemp establishment license and sell products, and initially sought to provide milligram limits on Delta 9 THC and consumable hemp products. They're also looking at restricting police reports and communication to state lawmakers and the public can like access, and also new exemptions to prevent public disclosure of General Assembly activities. There's other things they're doing right now, but as the Georgia State Assembly is closing up their legislative session. But Georgia, once again, another market has had a lot of hemp farming over the years. We've talked to a number of hemp farmers in Georgia trying to go and get around from all this. And is it really much just the same idea that's going on here? Is it really just that we're going through the same kind of issues once again, where I see even as well, THC drinkables might be allowed under the law? What is it about that part? People are feeling like with Texas and Georgia, they're in lockstep here. Why do they feel like they can also just say, okay, drinks will be allowed to be sold in liquor stores, but everything else is banned?
So, yeah, I mean, Texas, I guess, is really with the legislator because, in Georgia, they saw that as one of the sole problems. It goes back to, how these drinks look, right? The labels, especially with their attraction to kids. So a lot of stuff goes into play here as you said, child safety or public safety. So the drinks definitely come and be just because the way they look, but they can just get picked up like it's any other drink in the alcohol store. So you can definitely see why they come, down. There's so much talk and discussion, especially lately. But yeah, with Senate Bill, 254, that was really the goal there, to really just wipe out all, hemp THC infused drinks. And as you say, like with the farmers, that affects them because it's like they've been able to produce in this market for so long, but now you're basically just going to threaten to cut it off completely, especially a large part of it because of the rising demand in these hemp beverages. Just cutting that now would definitely hurt some of these businesses moving forward.
Now, one of the stories I am looking at here, as if I'm trying to find information, which, again, trying to get around these crazy paywalls you have to go through on a regular basis just to get stirred out here. That's enough. There is a story that's talking about the fact that Georgia is not going to do anything right now. They've concluded the 2025 session and chose not to enact any proposed changes to THC infused products. Rules will remain in effect and allow those 21 and up to purchase consumable hemp products and gummies, tinctures, and beverages, including small amounts of THC derived hemp. So the Senate introduced the ban, that particular bill, and the House unanimously passed a substitute version of the bill. Existing THC limits and proposing permitting the sale of these products in liquor stores. Again, it's the same thing with Texas and Georgia and the same thing here. But again, what happens in Georgia, nothing happened. They brought it up, nothing comes to change, and we're still in the same issue. But is this something that's just going to be a year-to-year issue, do you think? Will this be something that will just continue to be addressed? And the risk of what will happen with these bills for Texas and Georgia, are they always going to have to be worried about the fact that this is always going to be a lingering issue and the legislators are always going to try to come back and attack this?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say as with everything, and when I was an undergrad, I was a political science major. Mm-hmm. You really can't say, when it comes down to some of these legislators and these lawmakers, especially state by state, how they do things. Like I'm coming now from Pennsylvania, moving down to Georgia. It's different from New Jersey because I stay in Pennsylvania. It's near New Jersey where, they put this, to a vote really. And that's how New Jersey came to be, one of the first states, to have adult use. But, as a Pennsylvania, it has to go through the lawmakers. It has to go through the, do the suits. So that's a definitely good question. That is it something that could potentially go back and forth for who knows when? I do think that year to year, though, just the fact that, you know, this past year in Georgia, three of them passed, you know, right on that day, right before day of crossover. I'm just trying to get that to the next house. That shows, I would say, some sort of priority that's increasing now. And I can say that reflects the constituents. And that's why I say again to the general public, that this is something, you know, that you want. Like, particularly with Georgia, there was a poll a couple years back, and it took a poll out of all the voting adults in Georgia, and over half was in favor of adult use. So, like I said, this is something that the community really wants. It does kind of feel bad that, you know, it's not put in their hands, like in a state like New Jersey. But at the same time, I do think it is a good sign, though, that we are starting to pay attention more, you know, even with Texas, right? Good or for bad. Just the fact that, you know, these are conversations that are being had, because, you know, 10 years ago, this wouldn't even see the floor. So you could see on the glass half, full, glass half empty, kind of perspective.
Well, now there's more to what's going on with other states going through the same issue of imposing bans on THC products, hemp THC products. We're going to go through all those states and give a whole comprehensive look at that, because MJS Bethilly has done a great job of doing that. And also the influence of large companies trying to get into the space. Outside of the cannabis industry, the mainstream companies that also want to get in there, get into the market of it, because they see where alcohol is not doing so well. They're not selling as much. So we'll be back once more with questions with Kari Griffin, attorney from Clark Hill PLC, talking about the various issues with THC hemp and the crackdown throughout all the states. Here on Blunt Business, we'll be back with final questions for this. And I'm back with final questions here with Kari Griffin, attorney from Clark Hill PLC, here on Blunt Business. And Kari, you know, when we look at things right now, we could ask ourselves, well, Schedule 3 rescheduling for cannabis, we're going to worry about that. Listen, get the DEA is not going to give us any judging on that. They're postponing indefinitely right now. We're still months and months away from any kind of ruling on that or any kind of continuation of hearings about this. And then with the hemp bill right now, with no implementation, this continued crackdown will go on. So right now, for about a good 7 years, hemp-derived THC products were booming. But now we have blanket bans or disruptively strict regulations on intoxicating hemp products in about a dozen states, and more could be coming. So let's go into some of those right now. California has an extension of emergency regulations that outlaws all hemp-derived THC. We talk about Texas with the blanket ban on anything containing hemp-derived THC. Florida, a ban on synthetic THC and restrictions on hemp-derived Delta 9. And then we also have Arkansas, Kentucky, Montana, and Tennessee imposing a mandatory third-party distribution model similar to what's seen in the alcohol industry, as well as bans on direct-to-consumer sales. So across the board, we know there's been a lot of issues where the synthetics have really been, I guess that's what's triggered the real problem with all this right here with intoxicating THC products, hemp-derived, that's been going on with this. And, I mean, at this point, do you see this going to be continued crackdown on here? Is that going to be something that's going to continue to go on? And, you know, what risks does this actually impose right now for all these states? Those are major states getting part of this. Also, hemp growers being affected and the products are being affected. They can't even keep up with what's going on. And also the fact that it's not from dispensaries. You guys understand that where these products are being sold and what regulations these retailers are going to have to also follow if they're not following them, if any.
No, yeah, like you said, I mean, it really it's coming down to these synthetics. Yeah. It is kind of, I would say, for the hemp industry, and, you know, it should definitely be a time right now where you just have to be on your toes, especially with, you know, with the new administration. Because, I mean, we've seen that the past Trump administration, specifically, you kind of had that threat to the hemp industry, especially with the scheduling. You know, that definitely was it was not near, in terms of moving to, schedule two. So I would definitely be cautious for sure. Because, you know, for the industry, I mean, I really don't see how it's most likely going to get better in terms of federal, viewpoint, federal statute towards it. But like I said, it's like federally, the FDA, they're going to have to, you know, say something about these synthetics. Because I mean, that's been the big issue state to state.
But now the thing is too, is that, so Bobby Kennedy, in the first month or so after being confirmed as HHS, overseeing FDA, DEA, and whatnot, this is the part where, I mean, there's not been much commentary and not much being said so far from his end or from those agencies they're in. Because right now, the DEA rescheduling, that came from the Biden administration. And, you know, the problem with them is that while it was wonderful they're going to see this change, we know all the research, financial implications that come into this. We've talked to it extensively. But the one thing that's coming on down here is that since the administration changed, we haven't seen anything come within the first like 2 months where anything's been addressed, all that, because it's probably not a priority right now. But do you think if there's anything down the line? Another thing too is that when you make mention of the Trump administration, the people in his cabinet and the people that were in charge prior to, it's a much different sea change of administrators they have now. So we know that. Absolutely. So Jeff Sessions in here, nobody that's like, you know, that's of a different mindset and I might go against the president's wishes. I think what he has right now are people that are definitely in lockstep with what he wants and his agenda. And of course, he did support medical marijuana when it came to, you know, in the state of Florida, particular for that amendment, which did not pass, almost did, but there's a lot of reasons we talked about why that didn't happen. The thing is, and Bobby Kennedy's also been very supportive of not just cannabis, but psychedelics and other normalities to find out if we could find better cures that are not big pharma. So all the talk has been there, but I think the implementation to see if they're going to jump in and start convening on this hasn't happened yet. And do you see that there might be something where we just need to wait for that to come up when that becomes something that's on in the queue and they'll finally start addressing it?
Yeah, no, I think that's probably the best. That's the best bet for the hemp industry, kind of just to keep on going with that. Like you said, just it's not priority. You know, it's just let it rock out for the.
Well, because it was Mitch McConnell that initially got the hemp bill moving forward, because he was the one who was the biggest proponent in the Senate at that time. But of course, he's on the way out. He's not effective now. They're going to be anywhere. He's not a leader of any sort anymore. So, whoever needs to go and take up the charge of the hemp bill to keep it going forward. And we need an FDA administrator that's finally going to go and just jump in and say, okay, let's get this done. But the only thing I think that could actually make a change to that, Kari, is that we do see companies that are looking to go and make their way in, because we know there are these restrictions are bringing big companies to the hemp-derived THC beverage market. So we know that there are companies that are coming into play. MJ Business is also talking about that. Just recently, they're talking about the fact that, you know, one of the companies out there is Organigram Global, which is one of the largest marijuana producers in Canada. They're entering the Delta 9 beverage segment with a multi-million-dollar deal for a product in Ontario. And then there's also some of the bigger MSOs looking to release new energy drinks with 10 milligrams of hemp-derived THC, 50 milligrams of caffeine. And then we also know that we talked about edible arrangements. We've talked about other companies looking to go and come into play, and these bigger MSOs looking to decide, oh, we're going to go in here. Because now, say with edible arrangements and the edible brands, they're going to look to expand sales to the Carolinas, Florida, and Georgia, and have 31 hemp-derived THC products, including Delta 9 beverages, gummies, and drink enhancers. So the bigger companies are going to come in, and also they got launch partners with some pretty important names that I see in here, Can, Wanna Brands, Heirloom, 1906 and Happy and Cantrip. So like the bigger companies come in with their portfolio of products they're going to represent, and they'll be the ones that are going to sell, but everybody else is left out in the dust.
Yeah. So that's, and that's what it's like. You have so many competing forces within this whole scheme. And especially it's like, okay, is this something that's going to, you know, end up coming under federal, regulation as a whole? You know, synthetics, or is it going to something that's going to stay within the state? Because it's like the state is what protects this, the state right? You know, the smaller businesses, as you say, smaller manufacturers, smaller, and, you know, kind of protect that industry. So it's really goes hand in hand. And at the same time, you're going to have states because of this who are going to just like Texas, listen, you know, the FDA hasn't said anything. This is getting out of hand for us. We're just going to cut the cord. So yeah, this is definitely interesting. And I believe this is something that is moving. It's definitely not a question whether it's moving because we're seeing the legislation, you know, come, and be addressed on these floors. It's all a matter of when, but, as we have more community input, as we have these larger, you know, companies come in and be a force within the industry. Cause as you say, you know, that's really what it takes, you know, because money does talk. If you had that at the same time, I think this is something that we can see a shift. We can see a major development, maybe within this year or in the next couple of years.
Well, what we're looking for right now is, as the cannabis industry likes to be, is cautiously optimistic. There is a House Oversight Committee that's supposed to be held this week as we're recording, and the hearing is titled Restoring Trust in the FDA, Rooting Out Illicit Products. And that's supposed to be tomorrow as we're recording this program on April 8th. So a congressional committee is going to go ahead and have the FDA inviting a hemp industry and representative to testify on how the agency failed to approve certain products such as CBD, and also failing to approve products and take necessary enforcement actions, resulting in a flood of illicit and counterfeit products entering the country. So the government's going to go into this. It's just committee. We'll see what goes more to this. But finally, that's some kind of movement towards something. That's what we can wait for, and hopefully we'll get a chance to report on that soon. Kari, thanks for being on with us once again. Kari Griffin, attorney at Clark Hill PLC. Website for the firm is clarkhill.com. And if you could, real quickly, just go ahead and talk to us about, you know, what you were able to go and do if people want to go and reach out to you personally or to your team at the firm and the consummate cannabis practices that they provide. Talk to us about Clark Hill and what they provide and, you know, how they should go and continue to communicate with all of you in the future.
Absolutely. I'm glad you asked. And just so you mentioned, you met with my colleague, you know, Craig Small earlier. Oh, yeah. Harry yet came on the show. You know, that's, you know, someone who, you know, I've been working with in our cannabis industry group, and someone who kind of helped me, you know, get here and speak with you today. So, definitely just speaking on Clark Hill, you speak, to your expertise within the cannabis industry, all the way back to Bob Holden, being one of the, you know, the larger firms to really step up and, you know, come to the helm and, you know, work with, those lawmakers, work with those, community leaders and, you know, really be a force within the industry as well through what we do. And that's really servicing, you know, servicing all aspects, all stakeholders, within the industry, whatever that may be. We have a full service law firm. We can offer everything all the way down to, you know, forming, you know, your cannabis business, right? To litigation if something goes wrong. So, you know, really someone who has knowledge, and we have resources all around the country and all around the world. And we're really just, you know, looking to, level up, whatever you're trying to do within cannabis, and really just help you and wherever that may be, wherever you're looking to invest, wherever you're looking to, you know, perhaps service someone else, perhaps within, you know, the financial, services side, or if you just want to, be a manufacturer yourself and, you know, create your own brand, we can definitely be there and, you know, make sure that you, had that lasting impact within this industry. So thank you for having me. You can reach out to me at, kgriffin@clarkhill.com. And, you know, also just go on www.clarkhill.com and, you know, you can see all of our other professionals and all of our other offices. So
thank you, Kari. I really appreciate it. Kari Griffin, attorney at Clark Hill PLC. Thanks for being with us here on Blunt Business. Thanks, listeners. We'll talk to you next time.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests, host, and participants, and not necessarily those of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast or retransmission without proper consent is prohibited.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.